Chapter 21. Howell. Howell was thankful to be riding out of Bryn Irin, even if the delay meant that he was going to miss Tegwyn's funeral. He was already regretting his father's disappointment at his absence. Still, Tegwyn was dead, and Howell's presence at her funeral wasn't going to bring her back. His inquiries at Bryn Irin, however, might bring her justice. Instead of taking the high road through Cairhien and the standing stones at Bolchall de Vine on the return journey, Howell directed his men to the ferry across the Conwy. They had 10 miles to cover, and if they were going to reach Aber with a few hours to spare before sunset, they couldn't dawdle. The weather had remained fine as they left the ferry, but by the time they took the beach road to Aber, it had begun to rain. The farther they traveled, the more the wind whipped the fine sand into swirls over the road and bent back the bracken and the scrubby trees that managed to survive here despite the poor soil and constant wind. Howell hunched his shoulders against it, cursing at the raindrops that blew into his face. Before they'd gone half a mile, he was wet, and after 5 miles, he was soaked from head to foot. Evan rode to Howell's right, and the closer to Aber they got, the more alert he'd become. For the last mile, ever since the road had begun moving inland, he'd ridden with his hood pushed back and his head swiveling all around. "What is it, Evan?" Howell pushed back his own hood, too. Oddly, the rain bothered him less now that he'd given in to it. He wished he'd realized that earlier. He blinked the drops out of his eyes and then shielded them with one hand. Having passed the crossroads where the high road came down from the hills to intersect with the road on which they were traveling, they were hardly more than a mile from Eber. Howell could practically smell the cooking fires from here. "Something doesn't feel right, my lord." Evan lifted his spear as a signal to the men. As the company rounded a curve between a field on the right and a series of tree-covered hills to the left, they slowed the horses. "I can't see or hear anything but the rain." Howell peered southwest, searching for anything or anyone out of place in the sodden landscape. Evan frowned and put out a hand to Howell. "Wait," but at that instant, the man to the left of Howell grunted and faltered, an arrow jutting from his shoulder. Howell had time to rein in sharply before a second arrow flashed between his horse's head and his own and landed in the ditch to the north of the road.
"Get down!"
Evan launched himself at Howell and dived with him for cover. Howell's men were well trained and flung themselves off their horses at Evan's shout. Howell rolled into the tall grasses to the right of the road while others found refuge to the left. Evan threw himself on his stomach beside Howell, both of them on a downslope, trying to see through the vegetation growing on the rise to the south of the road from where the arrows had come.
"How many arrows has he loosed?"
Howell said.
"At least 3, Evan said. 2 horses are down, and David was hit in the shoulder. The archer had to take him down first to get to me,"
Howell said.
Evan nodded. "He rushed it." "You saved my life, Evan,"
Howell said. Evan swept his eyes downward.
"I did my duty, my lord."
Howell grunted under his breath at Evan's modesty, which, truth be told, was no less than he expected. Evan went back to scanning the hills to the south. Nothing moved on the road but the constant rain, and Howell's 10 men lay still.
"Let me try something, my lord."
Evan raised one hand high above his head. No arrow shot through it.
"Get them!"
Howell didn't immediately recognize the voice of the man who'd spoken. But at the shout, Howell's men surged from their hiding positions on both sides of the road. Evan pressed a hand onto Howell's shoulder, keeping him down until he determined the source of the threat. Within a few breaths, 3 of Howell's men had a 4th man struggling on the ground beneath them. Brushing off Evan's hand with a sour look, Howell pushed to his feet.
"As I said, no more than my duty, my lord," Evan said. "You're as bad as Gareth,"
Howell said. Evan bowed his head.
"You honor me?"
Howell cracked a smile that he tried not to let Evan see and strode the 20 yards along the road to where the man his company had captured lay.
"Get him up."
The man had given up fighting. His hands were tied behind his back, and he landed in a puddle, so he was even wetter than Howell. Howell's men lifted him from the ground.
"Dowie."
Howell stared at the man at arms, flabbergasted.
"Why did you shoot at me?"
I didn't shoot at you. I didn't shoot at anybody."
Dowie's eyes went wide in panic at the accusation.
"You can see I have no bow. You could have thrown your bow away, one of Howell's men said.
Evan approached Howell from behind and spoke low in his ear.
The other man with Dowie got away, my lord. I have sent 6 of the men to scour in the countryside to the south, but I am not optimistic we'll find the archer. He could have been 300 yards away when he shot at us. If I were he, I would have loosed my 3 arrows and run. I don't know why Dowie is here, but I don't think the ambush is his doing.
Who was the other fellow with you? Howell said to Dowie.
Dowie chewed on the inside of his cheek.
You might as well tell me, Howell said. If you're missing from your post, this other fellow is too. Who was it?
Dowie was used to following orders, and in Howell's opinion, had never been a great thinker. Howell waited him out, flicking a hand at several of his men, who shifted with impatience. Howell didn't like waiting, but he could do it if he had to.
Dowie licked his lips.
It wasn't my idea.
Howell didn't allow himself to smile at Dowie's capitulation.
Why don't you tell me whose idea it was? We can clear this all up in time for the feast tonight.
I didn't want to get involved, Dowie said.
Eric said...
Howell held up a hand.
Did you say Eric?
Dowie nodded. Howell shook his head at the name. It couldn't be a coincidence.
Go on.
Eric said...
Dowie cut himself off for a second time, as hoofbeats sounded on the road. They all looked west, even Dowie, though his arms were held in a tight grip by one of Howell's men. Gareth appeared over the rise with Godfred, of all people, and another 10 men, coming from Eber. 2 dogs ran in front of them, making a beeline for Dowie, their tongues lolling out. At a whistle from one of their handlers, the dogs halted. They were within 2 paces from Dowie by then, and they twitched in anticipation of bringing him down, if only they were allowed to. Moving forward to greet Gareth, Howell congratulated himself that the 2 of them had ended up in the same place, though he hoped Gareth knew more about what was going on with Dowie than he did. The company reined in, and the 2 dog handlers quickly leashed their charges. The animals would be well rewarded tonight.
My lord,
Gareth dismounted, glancing past Howell to where Dowie stood out of earshot.
Thank you for catching him.
I'm delighted to have been of service, Howell said. What has Dowie done?
He and one of Godfred's men, a man named Eric, fled Eber this morning after subduing one of the sentries, Gareth said.
Godfred had dismounted too, and held out his arms to Howell, who embraced him gladly.
You should know that someone took a shot at me a moment ago,
Howell said, as the 2 men stepped back from each other.
What?
Gareth examined the terrain to the south.
Just now. Whether it was Dowie, this Eric both of us are also seeking, or an as-yet unidentified 3rd man, we haven't yet determined,
Howell said.
We spotted Dowie and Eric 1/2 mile up the road,
Godfred said.
I don't recall seeing either with a bow or arrows.
Eric was your man, Howell said to Godfred.
And a traitor, apparently,
Godfred said.
I wish we were meeting again under better circumstances, but you need to know that Eric served in Rus before he entered my father's service.
Your father tells me that Dowie served in Rus too, Gareth said.
Howell looked upon Dowie with new eyes, and then said to Gareth,
You'd better tell me what you've discovered in my absence.
Heedless of the rain, which continued to fall, Gareth quickly set forth the events of the past day from his end. Then Howell gave Godfred and Gareth a summary of his investigations, including the fact that he'd been contemplating a journey to Dublin in search of Eric.
How fortunate that I brought him to you.
Godfred coughed.
Sort of.
They walked back to where Dowie stood with his captors.
We'll see if we can get something out of our prisoner.
Howell stepped in front of Dowie and took a moment to examine him. Dowie kept his eyes downcast, refusing to look up.
A few miles isn't much ground to cover since this morning. What did you hang around for?
It was Eric's idea to go to ground until tonight, Dowie said,
selling out his companion.
He knew of an empty hut not far from Eber, and we stayed there until we heard the dogs.
Dowie cast a resentful look in Gareth's direction.
Better to run than be caught like a rabbit in a trap.
Why did you run from Eber in the first place?
Howell said. Dowie didn't answer immediately, and the way he stared at his feet, digging the toe of his boot into the loose soil of the road, reminded Howell of when he and Gareth had questioned Carrie and Shaylaw. Howell continued to wait, his eyes on Dowie's downturned head, and Gareth and Godfred had the sense not to step in. Most men didn't like silence, and instinctively would fill it. Then Dowie's head came up, and he looked at Howell, his face contorted. For a moment, Howell thought he was going to cry. "I knew I was in trouble the moment I saw her body on the beach."
"You speak of Tegwyn's body," Howell said.
"Lord Bran swore that nobody would ever find her."
Dowie choked up, his words coming out as a strangled wail. Howell rocked back on his heels.
"What do you know about my cousin's death?"
"It was an accident, I swear it. Bran backhanded her across the face, and she fell and hit her head on the corner of a table."
The entire company of men, both Howell's and Gareth's, had been listening with breath held. But at Dowie's outburst, Howell felt that breath ease out in a quiet sigh as they settled themselves. At long last, they were hearing the truth, or something close to it.
"You saw it happen," Howell said.
Dowie had gone back to staring at his feet, misery in every line of his body.
"I heard it, and then I helped Bran conceal her death."
"You personally were involved in leaving Tegwyn's body in Wenna's hut," Gareth said.
Dowie nodded.
"Why not bury her in the garden, or the woods, or drop her in the ocean for that matter?" Gareth said.
"We couldn't risk being seen, and we had no tools," Dowie said. "The house held only a bed, a table, and a few dishes. The shed was empty. Do you know how hard it is to dig a grave with a spoon?"
Howell almost laughed. That was something he hadn't ever considered, for all that he'd killed men. He'd never wanted to hide a body, though, and he could imagine the desperate search that must have ensued when Bran found his wife dead at his feet.
"Whose idea was it to put her behind the wall?"
Gareth said.
"Bran's," Dowie said. "He made a shroud out of a deerskin he found in a box at the foot of the bed, and we carried her up the ladder to the loft."
"And left her," Howell said.
"It was all Eric's fault," Dowie said. "He was the one who brought Tegwyn to Aber. We didn't even know she was coming until she arrived."
"What were you doing at Aber?" Gareth said.
"I attended Lord Bran."
Dowie lifted his head, a remnant of pride returning.
"Why were you at Wenna's hut?" Howell said. "Bran was supposed to be in Powys with my father."
Dowie's face flushed, and he didn't answer. Gareth's expression turned menacing, and he stepped closer.
"Both Tegwyn and Bran are dead, Dowie, but you're not. Telling us everything you know can only help you now."
Dowie licked his lips. They were badly chapped, even with the fall of water on his face. His eyes flicked to the side of the road.
"You have no way out of this, Dowie," Gareth said. "You don't want to hang for a murder you didn't commit?"
Even with that empty threat, Howell was afraid they would have to use harsher methods to compel Dowie to spit out any more information. But then he said,
"It was Queen Guladys who was supposed to come to the hut that night."
A whisper of unease swept among the men, and Howell held up one hand to stop Dowie from speaking further. Gareth tipped his head to Evan, who began to disperse the men back to their horses. Howell was still struggling to believe that the truth had been right in front of him all this time, if only Dowie had been willing to tell it.
"Why don't you tell us about that meeting?" Gareth said.
Dowie sneered, realizing he'd struck a nerve.
"Guladys was Bran's lover."
Howell kept his expression blank. Dowie waited for a response, but when it wasn't forthcoming, his shoulders sagged.
"Oh, you already knew that?"
"We did,"
Gareth said.
"Then why did you ask?" Dowie said.
"To see if you did," Gareth said.
That seemed too complicated for Dowie, who then shrugged.
"She'd broken it off with him, but Bran had begged her to talk to him one last time."
It was always the one last time that was the undoing of any secret. Guladys appeared to have known that, even if Bran hadn't.
"But she didn't come," Howell said.
Dowie shook his head.
"It was Tegwyn who came. Lord Bran had sent Eric on an errand to Bryn Irin, and somehow she convinced him to bring her to Aber."
"That's a 15-mile ride if you don't take the ferry," Howell said. "She must have been very convincing."
Dowie shrugged again. Howell was growing to despise the gesture.
"He would never tell me anything."
Gareth motioned with one hand, silently asking Howell to step away from Dowie to confer with him and Godfred. They put their heads together.
Tegwin would not be the first wife to lie with her husband after the fact, thinking to convince him 7 months later that the child was born early,
Godfred said.
When Bricken refused to run away with her, she must have been desperate,
Gareth said.
Nor would Eric be the first Dane to hide a soft heart behind a warrior's countenance,
Godfred said.
Gareth returned to Dowie. Why did you run?
Eric said that it was only a matter of time before someone remembered that we both served Bran, Dowie said. He knew that Prince Howell had gone to Ross. He didn't trust me to lie. He said that I either had to come with him, or he'd kill me.
Did it occur to you that he might kill you once he got you out of Eber?
Howell said. At Dowie's wide eyes, Howell tisked his disbelief.
Walk me through that night, Dowie, Gareth said. Eric and Tegwin arrived at the hut. Tegwin went inside, leaving you and Eric to wait outside. And then what?
Dowie hunched his shoulders.
I didn't hear all that Tegwin and Bran said. They were quiet at first, and then they started shouting.
He looked down at the ground. Eric and I stayed with the horses until Bran came to get us.
That's not all you heard, though, is it?
Gareth said. Howell had noted that downcast look, too, which indicated Dowie was still hiding something.
Nobody can be harmed by Bran now, Gareth said. It's best if you tell the whole truth.
Dowie's lower lip stuck out, as if he were Di's age instead of Gareth's.
I don't want to hang.
Gareth glanced at Howell, who answered for him.
My father will be merciful, as long as you didn't do anything wrong beyond withholding the true story.
Dowie ducked his head. Tegwin told Bran that she'd kept his secrets, and that he owed her. Now Dowie lifted his eyes to Howell's face. She claimed he was responsible for Markith's death.
Markith was Bran's older brother, the eldest son of the three, who died in battle in Ceredigion after Bran's marriage to Tegwin.
The three men stood silent, absorbing that bit of news. And then Howell reached around Dowie's back, untied his hands, and began to retie them in front of him.
Is that when he hit her?
Dowie nodded. The rope was waterlogged and stiff, and Howell's own hands were cold. By the time they arrived at Eber, the only way to remove the rope might be to cut it. After some frustration with trying to tie the last knot, Gareth stepped in to finish the job while Howell put his hands to his mouth to warm them.
Did Tegwin truly know something about Markith's death? Gareth said. Was Bran really responsible?
Dowie put his face into his bound hands.
I don't know. It was in Ceredigion.
Then he lifted his head to look at Howell.
You know what that war was like, that last battle in particular.
Who's to say when a man dies that his death truly came at the hands of his enemy?
Godfred said. Howell nodded.
War is chaos.
They'd all lost loved ones that day,